Luke chapter number 1, we'll just read our text verse. Most of you have been here in either one or some of the services where we've introduced it and talked about the context of our verse of Scripture in verse 38, which is a hinge point to the whole thing. I mean, really is. Everything that Gabriel said, having been sent of God with a message to Mary, and then everything that happened as a consequence to that, all hinged out of verse 38. When Mary said in verse 38, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, she said, as I'm preaching the subject, I want what I've been exposed to become my experience. I want what you have told me from God to become my practice. I want to live what I have now learned. I have been made aware, I've been made consciously aware of the will of God and the work of God, and I want that to be practiced in my life. That really is the true heart of every believer. I believe that. Rebellion, come on now, rebellion is not a Christian characteristic. Rebellion is not. Liberalism is not either, but rebellion definitely is not. Amen? But we've been preaching on the subject of turning exposure into experience, and I don't want to go back and re-preach a lot of that, but I want to tell you, we are a blessed people tonight having been exposed to a lot of truth. There's people on planet Earth that has yet to hear the plan of salvation. I mean, really, there's people on planet Earth that don't have a clue what it means to be lost, be saved. You know, they don't know Jesus from a hole in the ground. I mean, really, they don't. And a lot of those that do know, they just know him to be a historical figure, and that's about it. But I want to tell you, we are a blessed people to have been exposed to the truth and light of God's Word. But we've been dealing with several things. We've talked about how that moral preparation was involved, how that God used Mary. Mary was clean, pure, made choices to be that way, and God used her. Moral preparation, there was mental contemplation. She cast in her mind, she thought it through, what God's will was. And do you and I well to think it through. Amen. And then there was a powerful illustration, verse 36, used her cousin Elizabeth to show her, look what I've done in her. Look at the supernatural thing that I've done in her, and let that be an encouragement to you that I can do it, the impossible in you, that I can do the supernatural in you. Then number 4, there is a willful acceptation. Verse 38, without pressure, without force, Mary complied. Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." I want what you've exposed me to. And then number 5, it involved a physical instrumentation. That is, God chose, designed to use Mary's body. God has designed to use your body. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the work that God does, he's going to do it through your body. But I'm also, on the flip side of that, the contrast of that, I believe we can safely say that what the devil wants to do, he wants to do through your body as well. No doubt about that. There is a battle, I believe, between both forces. There is a battle of possession. Who's going to be in possession of you? Amen. I believe that's the key. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is about that very subject. Being possessed. Most in this building tonight possess the Spirit of God in that you're saved. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you and will so until the day of redemption, till Jesus comes. Are you listening? But I want to say to you, my friend, that the devil wants to possess his people. And when he possesses them, they have power. You read about demon-possessed people and how they do supernatural things, you know, unbelievable things. You know what that is? That's possession. Power that comes through possession. God's people possesses the Spirit of God, but very few are possessed by the Spirit of God. And that explains the powerlessness that's in most churches. But anyway, there's the physical instrumentation. Then there's number 6, the vocal declaration, verse 39 through 44. And then there was the supernatural activation. I like that. What God told Mary, Mary could not do in and of herself. She said, "Even how can this be? I know not a man. How could this possibly come to pass?" And Gabriel said, "The Holy Ghost is going to come on you. The Holy Ghost is going to do that." Elizabeth told her in verse 45 that there shall be a performance of those things. That is, you're just going to be the recipient of it. And I like this, the word behold that's used in verse 31 and verse 36, the word behold means to watch. Mary, I want you to watch what God will do in your life. If you'll submit and surrender, you just watch and see what God will do in your life. And then this morning we dealt with number 8, a personal magnification, where Mary said in verse 46, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Let me get this on here. Are we on here, Brother James? No, we're not on. There we are. I think we might have missed it this morning. I hope not. But anyway, let's look at this here, and we want to pick up now not only personal magnification, and the Lord showed me some things this morning while I was preaching on that I'd never seen before about that, and I hope that God helped you with it. But number 9 is where we're at tonight, and I want to deal with verse number 47. I want you to notice there is spiritual celebration that's involved. Spiritual celebration. Look at verse 47. And my spirit. Notice the word and connects with verse number 46. Do you notice that? Verse 46 says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Verse 47 says, and, which is a word of connection. In other words, these are not two separate ideas. They're connected. One gives way to the other. One is the root. The other's the fruit. One produces the other. Well, when we magnify the Lord in verse 46, then there will be that rejoicing in verse 47. There'll be celebration where there is magnification. If you're interested in magnifying the Lord, you should also be interested in celebrating, rejoicing in the Lord. She said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now I want you to notice something else that she said, the Bible says here. She said, my spirit. That's inward. Your flesh, or anything to do with the flesh, will never be involved in worship or praising of the Lord. Your flesh will never rejoice about salvation or the spiritual things. Amen. I guarantee if I asked about 10 people right here to repeat the last sentence I just said, I guarantee you couldn't do it. You know why? You're not paying attention. Ain't that a shame? 2 services straight. That's a shame, I'm telling you. Makes me want to really get with you, I'm telling you. I don't study just to be studying. I study to get a word from God that's going to help you. If Jesus, let me just kill that rabbit while I'm on it. If Jesus was standing here bodily, and I'm not Jesus, but I'm just saying, if he was here bodily, would you be paying attention? If he was preaching himself verbally and bodily, physically, literally, would you be paying attention? What distractions would there be in the service that would pull your mind off of that? All eyes would be on him. I'm not Jesus, but I'm an ambassador. I am not him, but I am called a messenger sent with a message. Amen? Well, amen. Let that be wherever it be and go where it wants to go. Amen? I hate to do that. It just about destroys a service. It does. I hate it. I despise it. And you should never put me in that predicament to have to deal with it. That's right. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. That's right. Say amen right there. That's right. All right. That's a good negative on a celebration thought, isn't it? Amen. God help. But there is that, and there's a lot of preachers wouldn't even done that. Because they don't care if you listen or not. They just interested in the paycheck. But I want you to listen. I want you to get it. There's spiritual celebration. Notice she said, and my spirit. That's inside. Her spirit was involved. Worship is the spiritual things. Celebration is a spiritual thing. Honoring God is a spiritual thing. Your flesh will never do that. Your flesh will never be involved in that. She said, my spirit, that spirit inside of me that's been made alive. See, a lost person, they're spiritually dead. Are you listening? Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened. The word quickened means to make alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. That a sinner will never do what verse 47 says because their spirit is dead. They're spiritually dead. Amen. Remember when Jesus, or when God told Adam, the day you eat thereof, you'll die? Amen. That wasn't just physical death. that came in on man, but that was spiritual death. Man died spiritually toward God. There's no hookup with God. God's a spirit. Man has a spirit. God is a spirit. And I want to tell you, friend, there's no hookup with God until that human spirit has been quickened, regenerated, resurrected, made alive. And as a result of that, then, my friend, there now is a hookup with God. There now is a celebration and a rejoicing that takes place with God. I want to tell you, I have a problem with people that never seems to rejoice about God. I have a problem with that, amen? I mean, seriously. I have a problem with that. They can rejoice about other things, secular things, physical things, financial things, material things. But when it comes to spiritual things, they just seemingly don't have much to say. Mary said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God." Now, wait a minute. Mary probably at this point wasn't even showing yet. So her rejoicing couldn't have been based on what she was seeing. Are you listening? Because we know that to be true, because after having been told of Gabriel what God's will was about her going to conceive, then in verse number 56, the Bible said that she abode with her, that is with Elizabeth, 3 months. So we know at most she was about 3 months pregnant. Are you listening? But she was rejoicing. Why? Because there was the Word of God. And I'll tell you why she was rejoicing. Verse 45 said, "And blessed is she that believed." That's where the rejoicing come. That's where the rejoicing come of spirit was, that faith believed God's Word. Isn't that right? Amen. That's right. God help us here. The word rejoice. This is a very important word, very interesting word. When she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced," that word spirit, that word rejoice, you ready for it? It means to jump for joy. I mean, that's what it says. That's what it means, to jump for joy, to be exceedingly glad. How many in here, don't raise your hand, I wonder how many in here tonight, including the preacher, is exceedingly glad? Not just glad, but exceedingly glad. I wonder how many sinners looks at our lives on a daily basis or a weekly basis and sees a saint of God that is exceedingly glad. No, they notice us mad, or they'll notice us sad, but what about glad? Amen. Well, I want to be a joyful Christian. I want that to be said of me. Well, Preacher Rackley is a joyful Christian. I'd love that to be said. I don't want nobody to think, not for the slightest second, that Preacher Rackley is bored of being saved, that he's sad about his decision, that he's mad about the direction of God in his life. No, I want everybody to know that I'm saved, I'm glad, I'm exceedingly glad of being a child of the King. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, this ought to help you right here. A lot of things that many folk are glad about can change. Glad about your job? You can lose that tomorrow. Glad about your financial bank account? That could be gone in just one signature of Obama's pen. Say amen right there. I mean, listen, you shout about and be glad about your house, that could burn to the ground before we get home. You shout about your possessions, it could be stolen by a thief before we get to the house. I want to tell you what God says we're to be exceedingly glad about. What Mary was exceedingly glad about was that Jesus Christ, who will never change, who cannot die, there'll never be an end. He cannot be burnt. He cannot be stolen. He cannot get sick, old, and die. I want to tell you, he's always on the job, and he's eternal. Therefore, our rejoicing will always have its object. Your rejoicing is no greater than the object that it rejoices in. Amen. Amen, that's right. Oh, God help us, you know. And I'm not for emotionalism. I'm against it. Wildfire, I just best soon have no fire is wildfire. I'm serious. I don't have no confidence in it. We don't pump it up, work it up. I want to tell you, it's either prayed down and enjoy it, or it just won't happen. But I'm not interested in wildfire. Are you listening? I'm talking about, listen, I like what, who was it? Brother Davis or whoever it was, might have been Brother, I don't remember now. One of the preachers that stood here said that believers don't have to fake it. Amen. We don't have to come in God's house and put on a dog, walk the dog, and act like something that's not. Amen. And no, we can be the real deal. We can be the real deal. Are you listening? We can have a smile that goes plumb to the bone. Are you listening? We can have joy that goes plumb to the heart. Amen. We don't have to put on a fake smile and a fake amen and a fake hallelujah and fake worship. No, friend, it can be like an artesian well springing up in your soul that you can be exceedingly glad about being saved. Amen. Praise the Lord for spiritual celebration. You said, preacher, what was that? That was the exposure becoming experience. You'll never rejoice about something that you only know. You can't shout about just mere information. You can't rejoice and be exceedingly glad about just information. No, she wasn't shouting just about what Gabriel had told her. She was shouting about the fact that it had got in her. The Holy Spirit came upon her and put Jesus in her. Amen. Oh, yes. Boy, our celebration tonight here at RBT, it cannot be about the political world, the economical world, or the sports world, or none of that. I'll tell you, it can always be about Jesus. Amen. And you don't have to pump and prime and pull and jerk and all of that and try to get somebody to smile who is born again. Amen. Well, amen. That's right. I want people to say it about Preacher Rackley. He's got the joy of the Lord. I want to be able to say it, that he's a joyful Christian. Amen. Stands right, preaches right, but he's got the joy of the Lord in his soul. That's what I want. Amen. I want to be a good testimony for the Lord in that regard. But it means to jump for joy, to be exceedingly glad. Amen. To be have exceeding joy, to rejoice greatly. Jesus won't tell you to do what he wouldn't do. And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, we find the disciples were boasting over the fact that snakes and serpents and demons and all that were subject to them. And you know what? Jesus said, no, don't rejoice over that. That ain't nothing to rejoice about, that these demons and stuff are subject to you. He said, rejoice because your name is written down. It didn't say a thing about feelings. It didn't say that. He said, if you know that your name's written down, if your name's written down, that's a fact, that's a reality. He said to rejoice about that. If you're saved tonight, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have a scriptural license. You have a scriptural permit from the very mouth of the Son of God for you to rejoice. Amen. And no wonder a lot of sinners don't want what we've got. They come to the average church. I say the average church, and I hope ours is not an average church. Amen. But they'll come to our services or come to services in churches and it twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Are you listening? And they wonder, where's the life of God at? Amen. Well, there should be spiritual celebration. And there will be. There will be. Look what verse 44, look what the Bible says. Verse 45. And this is what Elizabeth told Mary. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. What's that second word? Blessed. You know what that word means in the Bible? Happy. Oh, how very happy. Huh? Our happiness, my friend, we've made it conditioned on happenings. Mm-hmm. We've attached our happiness to happenings, and if it's not happening, then I don't have no happiness. And that's why a lot of professing believers come to church with long faces, and they're sad, and they never testify, and they never raise their hand, and they never say amen, and there's never no heart response to the moving of God. Amen. Worship is not a happening. It is not circumstantial. It is, my friend, based totally on your relationship to the Holy Spirit. Joy is a product of the Holy Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You can have joy when everything in your life falls apart. If you're right with the Holy Spirit and try to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and let Him lead you and guide you and influence you, hey, I want to tell you, dear friend, you can have joy. But I can preach till I pass out that joy cannot be found in parties and pills and potions and all that stuff, and people will still go after it. We can take the Bible and show you where joy can be found in the person of the Holy Spirit, being right with God, being saved by God's grace, and they won't pursue that life. They won't pursue it. I don't understand it. But anyway, there's spiritual celebration. Let me move on. Number 10, there is the, verse 49, there is a consequential elevation. No, evaluation. Verse 49. Look at verse 49. Now here's the summary. Mary's coming down near the end of this, and she's saying this as a summary. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And holy is his name. In other words, a consequential evaluation is at the, she's looking back over this whole situation, and she is saying to everybody that what has happened to her, the exposure becoming experience, is classified as a great thing that God has done to her. Amen. God has done great things. The word great means excellent. God has done excellent things to you. God has done wonderful things to you. God has done splendid things to you. God has done magnificent things to you. That's the testimony of everybody that allow exposure to become experience. If they allow exposure to become experience and become their practice, what they've learned, what God has revealed to them, it becomes relative to them. It becomes real to them. I want to tell you, everybody has that testimony. God has done to me great things. Everybody that's saved says that. God's salvation is great. Amen? What's great to be saved? It's great to be saved. It's great to know the Lord. It's great to be born again. I tell you, I recommend it to anybody, anywhere, anytime. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Well, I was thinking today how that I was just going my own way, Brother Brian, and you know, living in sin, and you know, and I was just thinking today how that when I went to church, I didn't go to get saved. I didn't have God on my mind. I'm telling you, but there God was intervening and interrupting in my life. Hallelujah. Boy, I bless Him. I bless Him. I bless Him again and again and again for doing that. Oh, if it had been left up to me, I'd have continued the path I was on. Amen. If it had been left up to me, I would have still been in charge of driving my own life and making my own decisions and going the same old direction on the broad road that leads to destruction. But oh, happy day, my friend, when lo and behold, through the preached word of God, there was Jesus in my life, dealing with me, speaking to me, working on me, and drawing me to Himself. Oh yes, I tell you, He has done great things to me. He's done great things to me. Oh yes, friend. The great God of heaven wants to do great things to you if you'll let Him. If you'll say, be it unto me according to your word, then God says, amen. Now I can do great things for you. God is limited. If that's the case, God does great things for those that says, be it unto me according to thy word. Then if that's the case, and it is, right here we have an example, then Brother Silas, this is also true. Those that do not say it, those that do not say yes to the Lord, then God is hindered from doing great things in your life. Where is the great Christians of this present hour? I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about those that wants to rise above the status quo. Those that wants to rise up to another level. Not just be a number, but to be a special agent of God. Empowered of God. A vessel of God. To be used mightily of God. Where are they today? Oh, most young people today don't even think much about it. And sad, most preachers are not even preaching that. I mean, sad, and I'm not, Lord knows my heart. And I make that statement very, very humbly and very carefully, thinking it through. God knows my heart. But if what's being preached in most churches is practiced, they still wouldn't be great Christians. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what's the truth, friend. It's going to take more than a little ABC tiptoe through the tulip preaching to get people today to live a great Christian life. I mean, it's going to take it, friend. It's going to take God, nothing short of God, and revival from God to stir God's people and stir young people today to want to go with God. Amen. Lord, help us, Jesus. I mean, listen, I 50 years old is not old. Amen. Come on, say amen right there. But I mean, I just turned 50 January the 1st. But I mean, I'm thinking, and it's depressing thoughts, you know, but I'm thinking, you know, I've got about 10, 15 years probably, if the Lord lets me have health and life and He doesn't come back, maybe 10, 15 years of ministry. And I know that sounds like a lot to you, but I can turn around and see 30 years that went just like that. Because I'm thinking, you know, it's not going to be long till I'm going to be sure enough old. I mean, sure enough. It's not good English, but it expresses my heart. Amen. That's sure enough deal. But here's the thing that's been on my mind. What's coming up behind me? What marks are being left behind? What people am I influencing to after I'm gone or after I'm whatever, you know, and no longer standing up as a voice, you know, a loud voice for God? Amen. Well, listen, hey, how many's going to step up to the plate and say, God, I want it. I want what you want, what you've got for my life. Let me move on. I am going to finish this by the grace of God. The Lord will help me. I can see the end of the tunnel by now. But let me give you this right here. Number 11, I believe it is. Number 11, there is practical continuation. Now watch this right here. Did Mary cut that her situation on and off? No, it became her life. It became her life presently, but it became her life for the rest of her life. Amen. For the rest of her life, there was practical continuation. When exposure comes into experience, God means for that to have a continuation attached to it. I'm so sick of people quitting. I'm so sick of people, you know, they'll shout one service and you couldn't find them with a C&I dog and a sheriff, amen, for 6 months. I don't have no confidence in that. That's not what I got, Brother Darrell. That's not what God gave me, Brother Carroll, back in 81 when I got saved. Sure, there's been thoughts that went through my mind to quit at hard times and difficult times, Brother Frank, and valleys and all of that. Sure, there's been thoughts that went through my mind. Well, what's the use? Why don't you just quit? But I want to tell you, down underneath my collarbone, in the deep recesses of my soul, God put inside of me, Brother Brooks, a desire to continue, a desire to persevere. I never want to be listed as a quitter. Quitters never win and winners never quit. What God exposed to her and she allowed to become an experience, my friend, it didn't last for a day. It lasted a lifetime. It lasted a lifetime. Boy, God wants that in our life. Boy, I wish I could put it in people to be faithful and put it in people to just sink or swim. I told that young man this morning, at the end, after about everybody was gone, me and Brother Mark, Brother Silas, and I told him, I said, what you're getting up off of your knees with, put a not for sale sign on it. Never put it up for auction. Never compromise it. Always, listen, let it be a priority, Brother Silas. You told him, let it be a priority. Let your spiritual life be a priority in your life. Don't get in to get out. I told him, I said, when you get on your knees, you're not doing a trial run. You're not trying. You can try food at a restaurant to see how it tastes. But you don't try Jesus. You trust Jesus. You put it all on the line. You put it all on the line. And I told him, sink or swim, live or die, go with God. Amen. Boy, don't be a quitter. Don't be one that wobbles on the shaft, and be true and be faithful. And there's times that, brother, you can't do that by feelings. There's a lot of times, let me help you, there's a lot of times you can't do that by feelings. Are you listening? I get discouraged like anybody else. There's times I get down like anybody else, and it's always my fault, I just tell you. It's never been God's fault. Never in 30 years been God's fault. Never been God's fault. It's always been my fault. Are you listening? But I want to tell you, dear friend, in my lowest moment, there's inside of me a desire to go forward and to keep on going. Amen. Brother, feelings weren't there. Feelings weren't there. Circumstances weren't there. You can't let your perseverance be conditioned by circumstances. You can't let your going on and keeping on for God be dependent on the temperature and the weather and the job situation and the economic status of your bank account. You can't bring those things into the equation. The only thing in the equation is that I got saved by God's grace. I'm no longer my own. I owe Him everything. And my friend, when we say to God what you've exposed me to, I want to experience it. I want to tell you, dear friend, that is a lifelong commitment. I don't mind telling people, when you come to get saved, it's for the rest of your life. Amen. I don't mind telling them at all. I don't hesitate to tell them, friend, that when you get saved, it's for the long haul. Amen. And we all know good people that's quit. I mean, I know good people that's quit. We've seen good people that used to be members here that have quit, that's thrown in the towel for whatever reason, I'm going to tell you. But thank God for that faithful few that still sits on these pews service after service. Amen. And the preacher, amen, bringing your Bible to the house of God, giving to the work of God. Thank God for you that didn't get caught up in the vacuum of those that were sucked out. Those that were sucked out and blowed out with trials and difficulties that they allowed to get bigger than God in their life. Thank God for you that have kept on going. That crowd that's quit, every one of them's discouraged me. Every one of them has disappointed me. I've been hurt by every one of them. And if you, anybody in here tonight, and by the way, let me just say, we all have the potential. We all have the potential. We could be quit. We could all quit before the sun comes up in the morning. We could all say yes to the flesh and no to the spirit before in the morning. I'll tell you, but we won't be happy. And there will be chastisement. But I just wanted to stop right here and say to you, thank you for not quitting. Thank God for you being a source of encouragement, this preacher. When I come in here to preach, it's a blessing to see you on the pew, to see you there, my friend, ready with your family or you as an individual to hear the Word of God. That helps me to keep going. That helps me to just keep pressing on, because I know that there's a nucleus of people, there's a congregation at RBT that needs the Word of God. There's a practical continuation. I'd love to see a bunch of people get on fire for God, and then 6 months from now they're still on fire for God. I want to see some fruit. I want to see fruit that remains. Amen. Let me move on. Not only that, number 11 it was, I believe, practical continuation. I can say more about that. But number 12, there is the testimonial identification. Oh, this is good. Testimonial identification, in that when the exposure became her experience, it became her identity. It became her testimony. What's it been, Brother Brian? 2,000, a little over 2,000 years since Jesus was here. We still know Mary by that experience. Today, 2,000 years later, her mark, her identity, her testimony came out of this exposure becoming experience. You young people, I want to ask you, what kind of mark, not just young people, all of us, what kind of mark do you want to leave behind? 10 years from now, how do you want people to know you? What do you want people to know you by? I think that's an excellent question. What do you want people to know you by? Most popular kid in school? What good's that going to be? That ain't going to be no count. Because all your class dies, you're dead, you're gone. They won't know you. Are you listening? I spent 12 years at Rosman School, went through the whole school system, and they wanted to make sure I went more, but I actually got out of there in 12. Amen. There is a God at... Amen. I actually got out of there in 12. I guarantee you, I've been out of there a long time. I could go back and bury a few people in Rosman and even know who I am. Don't you remember me playing football? You played football? That's probably what they'd say. Yeah, don't you remember number 47? 47. Yeah. What do you want to be known by? But boy, it'd be good. 20 years from now, 50 years from now, Jesus don't come back. And I'm already gone off the scene. Wouldn't it be good for there to be another generation coming up and saying, you know what? There was a man years ago that preached and thundered through these hills in North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia and Tennessee and Virginia and other places. His name was Preacher Rackley. In a time when most was compromising, he stayed with the stuff and preached the Word of God. And I got saved and my children got saved and my home was this and that and this happened and that happened and God blessed. And well, I'd like to have that to happen. It became her testimonial identification. She was known for allowing God to work in her. That was her testimony. That was her identity. That was her mark. Amen. The experience of God putting Jesus in her was not just in her body, but in her life. The whole time she lived, she bore that identity of being Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the one that allowed God to put in her what He exposed her to. Amen. And let me give you this, and I'll be done. Number 13, there is the exceptional elevation. Exceptional elevation. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When I'm talking about something exceptional, I'm talking about what is superior, what is paramount, unrivaled, deluxe, the deluxe fashion. Higher in rank, higher in degree, higher in quality. And here's the point. Had Mary said no to God, all she would have ever been known as would have been just another young lady in town. All she would have ever known would have been just another young person that lived a normal life, but instead, by allowing the exposure to become the experience, it elevated her to a superior experience. You're shortchanging yourself when you say no to God. God's got bigger and greater things in store and in mind for your life. But when you say no to God in areas of your life, not just say no to God about salvation, but about service, sanctification, separation, whatever, you're actually hindering God from taking you to higher levels. Amen. She went from being just another young lady, a respectable young lady, but she went from being that to being Mary the mother of Jesus. Mary the mother of Jesus. And I want to tell you, had not that happened, she lived a normal life, probably got married, had a home, children, grew old and died. And that would have been the end of Mary. You and I would have never known nothing about her today. But she said yes to God. Be it unto me according to thy word. I want the exposure to become my experience. And as a result, God took her to a high level. A high, superior level. And God wants that to be true in your life. Well, I know that we've preached a lot on it. But I trust that God will drive it home to you. And in my heart too. to allow the exposure. And there's a lot of, there's multiple examples. Other passages, other Bible characters, it's everywhere. If you read it with this thought in mind that I've been preaching on, you'll see it everywhere. It's everywhere. But I trust God will take it and drive it home in our heart. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we come, God, asking for your help. We're asking, God, tonight for you to speak to our heart. We're asking, God, that you'd help us tonight to allow this exposure, the exposure of the Scripture, the exposure of the Spirit of God and the spiritual life, and the will of God. We want it to become our experience. And truly, we'd be able to say, as did Mary, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Lord, I pray you'll take this message and stir every young person in here to not want to just be another young lady or another young man, but they would have aspiration inside of their heart and mind and soul. God, I want you to take me and use me to make a mark on my generation, to make a difference in my generation, make a difference in my school, make a difference in my neighborhood, make a difference in my church. I want to be used mightily of God. Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray that be so. I pray that be the case. Lord, help me to keep on keeping on. It is true, we're in perilous days, we're in difficult days. But Lord, we certainly are not quitting in quitting days. We're in days, Lord, that we just need to keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. We're nearing the finish line. This thing's about over for the church. Lord, I pray right now that you'll help these altars to be filled with people serious about this thing of allowing the exposure to become experience. Your will be done. Lord, in the service tonight, maybe some in here lost without God, they've been saved. And by their own testimony, there's several. God, I would ask you to deal with them tonight and show them, Lord, that all that they've been exposed to about salvation through personal witness, through reading of gospel tracts, through preaching, through Sunday school, through being raised in Christian home, whatever. Lord, show them that experience, that exposure can become experience. Show them, Lord, that that's the reason that you chose to expose them to salvation and the truth thereof is so they would be saved. That's your intent. That's your desire, is to save them. Save them from their sin. Change their life and work in, on, and through them for the rest of their days. Lord, have your way. We'll give you thanks in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.